Let's turn to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. And you shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female, and of the animals that are not clean, two, a male and his female. Also the birds of the sky by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came upon the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him entered the ark because of the water of the flood, of clean animals and animals that are not clean, and birds and everything that creeps on the ground, that went into the ark to Noah by twos, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came about after the 7 days that the water of the flood came upon the earth, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, and on the same day all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the floodgates of the sky were open. And the rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh in which was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark so it rose above the earth. And the water prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. And the water prevailed more and more upon the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. The water prevailed 15 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh that moved on the earth perished, birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth and all mankind. Of all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life died. Thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, and they were blotted out from the earth, and only Noah was left, together with those who were with him in the ark, and the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Amen. So we come to this scenario of the flood, and you know, obviously for a minister, you know, a lot of times we don't really like to talk about judgment and finality and whatnot. But I think this story, we can't escape it at all. There is a judgment coming. This story, actually, when you go through the beginnings of Genesis, is kind of a microcosm of all of history after it. If I want to just have a little liberty with you, in many ways, the ark is what we call a type of Christ. What we mean by that is when judgment comes, the safest place, actually the only place that's safe on the face of the earth, will be the ark, which is Christ, right? You have to be found in Christ, or else there actually is no safety whatsoever. It doesn't matter what people's opinions or, you know, what people say. We got to always go back to the scriptures. And eventual judgment, the end of the earth, all that stuff that's written about throughout the text, it's all coming. And this is just a small picture of that. Now, it's we can have a couple of different reactions to that as followers of Christ. One, we can say, man, God, you're so mean. You know, I can't believe you're so judgmental, blah, 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 on and on. And you can go that route if you want to. It's not going to be very beneficial for you, and it's not going to be very beneficial for people around you. Or you can take the other side and say, hey, there's time left right now. There's time to witness to our friends and our family members. There's time to really go about and share this ark, share Christ with people in our lives. And of course, our prayer and our hope is that you take the latter route, that you recognize, wow, there's time that we can share the news of the gospel, the good news of Christ to people around us. And You know, it begs. I heard this story a long time ago. I was reading this book, and it was this Scottish theologian, and he was having a conversation with this non-believer, a very well-known atheist in the town. And the atheist turned to this believer, this theologian, and said, "If you, what you're telling me is true about the Bible and about Jesus Christ and all these things," and he said, "I would walk on my hands and knees on glass from Glasgow to Edinburgh to tell everyone about Jesus." And I remember reading that, and I was like, wow. Here's this famous atheist who may not necessarily believe in the message, but believes in the power of the message, that if this is true, if what you're saying about Jesus and God and all these things, if this is true, he says, "I'll walk on my hands and knees on glass from Edinburgh to Glasgow to share the story of Jesus Christ." And man, it still kind of rings in my mind. And whenever I want to feel like, you know, I don't want to be uncomfortable, you know, I don't want to look foolish, I don't want people to think that I'm some kind of holy roller or holier than thou or something, I often think about that passage. What do I got to lose? You know, if I have nothing to lose to share about Christ. And I hope and pray for all of us a real boldness in God to share with everyone that's around us, you know, our taxi drivers, our neighbors, you know, and there's many different ways to share the gospel, okay? You don't have to thump people, you know, with the scriptures and about judgment and whatnot, or we used to say back in the days, you know, scare people out of hell. That's not necessarily, you know, a path that we want to take, but to be an authentic witness of Christ wherever we go. And so this is in really a story is a type of Christ. Judgment is coming. There's no escape from this judgment. No one can escape. Nothing in creation escapes the flood. Nothing in creation is going to escape judgment. But God has made a provision. In Genesis 7, he made the provision of the ark. In our time, he's made the provision of his son. And if we are in Christ, like these guys were in the ark, you will be saved. This is a truth all through the scripture. So let's look at this scenario, this thing that's happening. Notice on here, notose that even in the verse, the chapter before, that God was really sad. God was really grieved in his heart. And yet, even in the midst of that, number one, he makes provision for life. And so he does that. And number two, he makes provision for repentance. There's an interesting thing that's happening through this. So he tells these guys, the first few verses are a summary statement of what's going to happen. You guys need to go into the ark, you need to do these things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you're going to wait 7 days during this time, and then God's going to do something. And they say, crazy, like, why are these guys going to wait? You see that here at the beginning of verse 4, and after 7 more days, I will do this. And then if you look later on, let me find it here. There's another passage there. It says, after 7 days. Okay, I'll find it as we go along. And it seems like every time this happens, the Lord kind of waits 7 days. Now, I want to draw on two things in the midst of this waiting, okay? One, I want to draw on Noah's faith. Imagine Noah, okay? Imagine you're the only righteous man in the face of the earth, and all these guys are ridiculing you. All these guys are like, Noah, you're drunk, you're mad. And then you take all the animals and everyone, your whole family, and you sit in the ark, and nothing happens for 7 days. Can you imagine how Noah must feel? Right, it's just, you know, raining a little bit, something's happening, but there's no flood, there's no apocalypse that's taking place that he had warned people about, and he sits in the ark for 7 days just waiting for God to do something. Noah really was a righteous man. This guy had faith. I mean, can you imagine after the pronouncement and nothing's going on, he's just sitting in his ark? I wonder what he was doing in the ark with his family and all the animals. I mean, it must have been a really crazy time that this is taking place, but yet he moves in faith. The other thing I want you to look at in these 7 days, and I believe, and a lot of scholars also believe, you know, that God is just waiting for repentance. The rain starts coming, the animals start filing in. Surely, I mean, think about if you were a participant, or you're an inhabitant during this time, and you are, you know, running around this area, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, seven pairs of clean animals and two pairs of unclean animals just arrive at this destination. And then in one swoop, some celestial timing, they all file into the ark. I mean, you've got to look at that situation and say, wow, God is up to something. Or there's something supernatural going on here. But they don't do that. It starts raining because, you know, he says, hey, this is something's going to happen. Things start happening, and the people still just watch, and they don't do anything. I believe God is giving them an extended time of repentance. I believe God is trying to woo them and draw them through all the phenomena that's taking place right now, through all the stuff that's happening in this moment. Surely, at least one of those people would repent. And this is the long-suffering of God in that regard, that he is always waiting. He's always longing for even one sinner to repent. Right, this is the heart of God, even in the midst of judgment, right, even in the midst of the end of all things as he comes into this place. And so these guys come in, they wait 7 days for it to happen, and then Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons with him enter the ark, this is verse 7, because of the water of the flood. Now, this is a kind of an aside that, you know, begs to talk about for a moment. If you notice throughout the scriptures, the idea that, if you notice, the Bible doesn't necessarily talk about a unit in terms of an individual person. The Bible always speaks the language of family. It's always, the wives, the sons, you know, all these things that are put together. And it's really important for us to recognize the importance and value of family. This is the language of Scripture, that the language is family. The language is our cousins and our aunts, and, you know, the extended family, this family of God that's portrayed. You got to understand that the enemy has done such a terrific job, I would say, you know, throughout history, to break apart the family to the point where these days now, I would say, even looking in a room like this, probably half of us come from a broken family in some regard. And that's just dealing with nuclear family. You throw in aunts and uncles and all these things, and maybe 95% of us would come from some kind of brokenness when it's related to family. But that's not the way of God. That's not the way of Scripture. When you see salvation experiences happen, you see it happening in the family. We see that God takes the whole family, the whole tribe, and converts them to the Lord. You see this happening through mission history as well and whatnot. And so we can never lose sight of that. And so something that we should be always praying about is our families. I'm sure you do that already, but I want you to widen the net a little bit more, and not just your mom and dad and brother and sister, but also including your aunts and your uncles, you know, the extended part of that family, because that was all instituted. It's the language of the Scriptures, this idea of family. Notice Noah was so righteous that he was able to, you know, and we don't really know if his sons were righteous. Well, we'll find later on that two of them are, and one of them's a total knucklehead. We'll find that out in a few chapters later on. And so, but in the midst of that, we see that because of Noah's righteousness, the sons and their wives also followed along. You know, there's something about having credibility. Now, listen very carefully. If you come from a family and your parents are not saved, I'm not saying you don't have credibility, okay? That's not what I'm saying at all. So don't take it like something that I didn't say. But just notice, you know, in this passage that Noah has such credibility that his family just follow along with him because he's head of the house. Right, that there's something so powerful about that. And it's interesting to note something in another way. It's interesting to note how incredibly terrific the enemy has done when it comes to men. Right? You know, I mean, honest, right? Men are just weak in 2014. You know, I'm sorry you guys are sitting here. You know, you guys are the exception, we know, right? But, I mean, let's honestly think about that. How many men I'm talking about even Christian men are truly heads of the household. I mean, how many really carry that anointing, you know, in their house? How many real men of God are there? I know there's a lot, okay? And so I'm not trying to, you know, but there is such a demonic onslaught against men, right? Okay, against women as well, okay? And so, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, one sex or the other, but you got to recognize throughout history, there's something that that the enemy has done to really break apart this image of manhood in such a way that man, in many ways, we need to rediscover, you know, what true biblical manhood is in many different ways. And I know a lot of that is you know, it has to do with the whole father thing. You know, you heard me say this many times. You know, God revealed himself to us as a father. God could have revealed himself to us as anything, but he chose to reveal himself to us as a father. And so what the enemy is going to do, he's going to attack the image of the father. So when a human being looks at Father God, the lens by which he's going to look is through their earthly father. So the enemy is going to do everything that he can do to attack that image of the earthly father, so that the lens by which they see Father God is going to be muted or distorted or even totally out of whack in this regard. And so it's important for us to really understand that and to pray for men, right? To really, really pray for men and women as well, right? But it's in this whole theme, this whole idea of family and how that all manifests. And so Noah takes his sons and his wives with them. They enter the ark because of the flood, and all these things happen. Now, let me go back to Noah's faith for a moment. Notice that in all the intricate details of how many cubits this needs to be, how many floors and levels and all this, notice there was no mechanism that God gave Noah that actually closed the door of the ark. And that's pretty amazing if you think about it. Out of all the design and all the things that he asked him to do, there's no mechanism that closed the ark. And you can imagine Noah's, you know, stepped into the ark, the flood is coming, and there's no pulley system, you know what I mean? There's no button to press that closes this ark. Nothing happens, because that was only reserved for God. You know what closed the ark? You know what closed the ark? Go ahead, you can answer. It's not a rhetorical question. You know what closed the ark? Is it too early in the morning? It was faith. Yeah, God. God is always the right answer, okay? But on a human perspective, it was faith. It was faith. You know, we hear got passages like faith moves mountains, and with faith it's impossible. Without faith it's impossible, please God. I want to suggest to you, it was the faith of Noah and his sons and his wife, the people in the ark, that closed that door. Can you imagine the dire straits that they're in? And it says there, in if you look at the end of verse 16, and those that entered, male and female and all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. And then the flood came upon the earth. In other words, the earth opened up. The flood didn't happen from the sky. It happened from underneath, which is actually more in line with scientific data about this kind of idea. And so we see that these guys are in rains, the water, rain's coming, but the actual from underneath has not come yet. And God closed the door. It was faith that closed the door. And it's always interesting that even in the midst of God doing, and God did all this stuff, right? There's always that room for faith. There's always that room for the partnership with man. Right, God does his part. God does his part extravagantly. I mean, beyond what we can imagine. But there's always that space that we do our part. And a lot of times that part is faith. Faith. Right? That we operate and we move in faith. And so think about some things that you're fasting for, you know, this year. Think about some things that you're really asking God for and whatnot. You know, God's going to do his part, especially as he's spoken. And now he brings us the opportunity to walk in faith. And it's a huge opportunity. I'm going to talk about this later this year, but when you know what to do, I mean, just very simply know what to do, that's called obedience, okay? When you don't know what to do and you kind of jump off the cliff, that's called faith. And I know a lot of us struggle with that, trying to understand. Faith is always an opportunity. It's an opportunity of faith. When everything is going well in your life and you're thanking God, you know what that's called? That's called praise. Like, you should thank God. You should praise Him. You know, when everything is not going well and you thank God, you know what that's called? That's called faith. See, it's a whole other animal that operates in this regard. And so, I mean, in all circumstances, the Bible says we should thank the Lord. And in this, but there are some circumstances that seem to be that there's not much room for thanksgiving, but that's where faith comes in, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith closed this door. Faith moves mountains. Faith will bring about the very things that you're praying for. Faith moves God. There's something so beautiful. I mean, it's one of these things we don't quite understand, but there's just something so beautiful in God's eyes that deal with when a man and woman moves in faith, that it literally moves his heart and it moves his hands to action. Right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So let's close our eyes today. There's so much, right, in this passage, but I just want to pinpoint, just for devotion's sake and prayer's sake, this aspect of faith. Faith closed the door of the ark. Faith is going to release something in God. And now you may be praying for somebody. The same principle applies. Your faith moves God on behalf of other people around you. Remember the paralytic that went into the floor? Jesus turned to his people and says he saw their faith. It wasn't the paralytic. He was just on the ground. It was the faith of the friends. He saw their faith and he moved into action. And so be encouraged as you're praying for other people who may not have faith. Your faith can do amazing things. And so when we pray and meditate on this song, I want to encourage you to step into faith. Whatever is going on in your life right now, you're asking God for, step into faith. Step into the things of God over those matters and those issues. You can say, God, I don't see you working. I have no idea what you're doing. But I trust in you. What a statement of faith. That's what moves mountains, my friends. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how
is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh,
let's pray this morning. Let's add faith to the mix. Whatever it is we're praying for, or whatever's going on in our lives, what we're fasting for, you know, let's present to the Lord our hearts of faith. Just as a prayer, just, you know, whatever situation, just say simply, Lord, you know, this and that is going on. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but God, in my heart of hearts, I trust you. Lord, help me in those areas, God, that I have difficulty trusting you. But Lord, you know my heart, God. I trust you. I'm going to spend a moment and just go before the Lord and just tell him that. Tell the Lord that over all the different situations that you're praying about. The things and areas that seem impossible. Say, God, it looks impossible, Lord, but I trust you. I trust you. Huh? Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayer. Let's pray for our friends that are battling cancer. Let's infuse faith into the mix here as we pray for people that are under tremendous odds. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our friends that need to get healed, but also, more importantly, that need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for God's word to come into their life. Let's pray for our friends going through non-cancer-related illnesses. I want to add one on. I got an email yesterday. You guys know Amy in Beijing. Amy's sister, Adam, has some heart problems. And she's been in and out of the hospital for the last month. And it looks like she needs a heart transplant. You know, she's very young. And she's the one that introduced Chris to Amy. And they got married. And so they're in Korea right now. And so if you can pray for her, name is Aram, A-R-A-M, and we'll add her to the list. But it's kind of an urgent situation, so I want to encourage you guys to pray during this time for her, particularly in their family. Even if she gets a heart transplant, which is the odds in or against her, there's still going to be a lot of complications. So they just need God's miracle in their life. And so let's pray. So pray for our friends in that same way as well. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision in their life. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for North and South Korea. Let's pray for our friend Chris and his community involved in so many different projects there. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really be revealed in this place. Let's also, if you've been hearing the news, let's pray for Kenneth Bae. He's the YWAM leader in China who's still in prison there in North Korea. And so, you know, let's pray for his release very soon and, you know, and all the diplomatic stuff that's going on would finally secure his release. Also pray for South Korea. Pray for Holy Spirit to continue to breathe upon this country and our friends that are there ministering. And, you know, hopefully in a few years we can plant a church in Seoul. And so let's pray for that as well. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our prayer ministries. Pray for IP, The Well, and Cascade. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them. Pray for our leaders the Ricky, Matt, and Rachel, that they would lead well, and all the volunteers that really give so much to these ministries. Let's lift them up, and all the people that they minister to as well. Let's pray for our mother church, Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's pray for Pastor Choi, that they would continue to grow spiritually and be united, and God's hand would be upon them. Let's pray for them. We know there's no house church tonight, but let's just pray for Soho and Harborside. Usually they meet on Thursday night. Let's ask for God's hand with them, the leaders, especially as they enjoy their last week of break before we start up in this new season next week. Pray that all the members would be really excited to get back into house church. And so let's pray for these two house churches. And let's pray for our outreach, SP Lights and the Homeless Ministry. They have outreaches tonight. So let's cover our leaders and our volunteers that are going out. Let's pray for a real divine appointments and God to really use them powerfully tonight. Let's lift up our ministries. Let's pray for our members today. Let's pray for Larry. Let's pray for Becky's mom and their dad to be saved. The salvation belongs to the Lord. Let's pray that over them. Pray for the Lord's favor over ministry and pray for Holy Spirit anointing and greater vision and revelation for himself. Let's lift up our brother Larry. Let's pray for our sister Yvain. Let's pray for a complete healing for our aunt Cynthia from cancer. And she's, you know, on the list that we pray normally. Pray for full spiritual restoration of her family, anointing for ministry, fully utilizing the gifts and callings that God has given her, and for clarity of future ministry and calling, and healing from past hurts, and that God would release that spouse for her. Let's pray for Yvain. Let's pray for our sister Genevieve. Pray for God to swiftly guide her in her work future, for her family's salvation, her sister Annie and Anita to love God and find godly spouses, and for her to marry a godly man and have many children. Let's pray for Genevieve. Lord, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for Noah. God, we thank you for the reminder of faith, God, in our lives. And no matter what situation that we're faced with, God, no matter how dire it is, Lord, we know that we can always depend and trust in you, God. And so whenever we're faced with these circumstances, Lord, let that be the first thing that comes out of our mouth is praise and thanksgiving, God, and trust. God, thank you so much, Lord. Lord, watch over us today. God, keep us strong and warm. God, help us to continue to fight the fight of faith, Lord. Lord, and to love you, God, in it all. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.